Nothing but the blood of Jesus and that blood that was shed at Calvary, and that work that was done in Calvary was a finished work and a complete work, and we are complete in Him. And it's by His grace that we're saved, and none of that is of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me this morning, I'd like to read to you from John chapter 11. This passage of Scripture has been very much a blessing to me this morning as I read it. And I pray that the Lord will bless us to share some thoughts with you that will be a benefit to you. We know how much we need the Lord. So I ask each of you, as we always do, just pray that the Lord would bless us in their efforts to preach. Again, we thank the Lord for each of you. Thank the Lord for our fellowship. Thank the Lord that you're here. And I just pray the Lord would bless our time together as we take the Word of God and share it with one another. The subject matter that's under consideration here is a very familiar one to you. It's an account of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's one I've spoken of. And I asked Sharon, did you remember the last time that I spoke on this? Because it might have been more recent than I think, but I then said, well, it really doesn't matter when it was. Sometimes we get worried about that I'm, just going over the same things. But then in the prayer, Brother Mike mentioned, it's not grievous for us to hear these things again, but it's needful. It's necessary. Paul said that he wanted to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. That was his desire, not only while he stood before them, but after his departure. After he was gone, he prayed that the things that he had said would still be shared among the brethren. I feel that. I would want, after I'm out of this world. Now listen, when we go home to glory, all's going to be well. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a great, great promise. Whatever is happening on this earth does not trouble or bother God's little children that go home to glory. And once you die and you're at home with the Lord, your battle's over, your trouble's over, there's a place prepared for you by God's grace, if you're a little child of grace, that you won't be troubled by anything else. That we'll be in the glorious presence of the Lord. But in my heart right now, I would desire that after I go and leave this world, that there will still be a little old Baptist church right here. They'll still be declaring the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that the name of Jesus would be honored and praised until the Lord comes, until the Lord returns. And I believe the Apostle Paul said that too. I believe that's what he felt. He had a desire to go home and be with the Lord, which is far better, but he also had a desire. He said, I'm torn betwixt two, because I have a desire to stay here, because I feel there's a need for me to share this gospel with others of God's children. The Apostle Paul wasn't worried about how folks were getting home to glory. He was worried about God's little children who were going to glory because of the grace and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding and knowing that while they lived here in this world, that they might see what a great Savior we have. And that's my desire this morning in this passage, that the Lord might see, the Lord might bless us to see what a great Savior we have in Jesus Christ. And what a friend we have in Him. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus in Bethany, and the the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. We read on a little later that this event caused some of them, from that point on, to seek to have him crucified, to have him killed. Jesus walked on the shores of this world. Isn't it good to know how Jesus came into this world? He came down from heaven. The Son of God was born. He was born in a low estate in the eyes of this world, but he was born the King of the Jews. He was born the King of Kings. He didn't come that he might be a Savior. He came as the Savior. He didn't come in order to become a king. He came as the king. He was verily God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that Word became manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us. And his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus because that word means Savior. That's why he was called Jesus. Savior. Jesus. And the reason he was called Savior was for he shall save, not maybe, not might be. He shall save his people. He had a people that he came for, a people that he loved. The people of God, the elect family of God. A people that were chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. And he came to save his people from their sins. He had them out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and he is and has been and will be intimately involved in their lives, in our lives. And three of those little ones were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we know that because Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we know that because the Bible tells us. And Mary, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. Mary was that dear little sister that came to the feet of Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and anointed him with oil and wiped them with the hairs of her head and came to him. We read about that in John chapter 12. In the next chapter, you can read about that little sister Mary. She was also the one that sat at the feet while Martha was busy cleaning and cooking. Mary came and sat at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. She had a love for the Lord. And their brother was sick, Lazarus. And Jesus loved Lazarus. He says, our friend Lazarus, in one place, whose brother Lazarus was sick. He says, our friend Lazarus, he was his friend. Verse 11 calls him our friend. Jesus says, our friend. Can you imagine Jesus talking about a man, a human, and saying, he's my friend. I love him. What was Lazarus? He was a sinner. A sinner by nature. Sinner by practice. Lazarus had sinned and come short of the glory of God. So has Lazarus' sister Mary sinned and come short of the glory of God. So has Martha sinned and come short of the glory of God. So have you and I sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe sinned so much you think, well, I couldn't be his friend. Listen, Lazarus was his friend. Mary was his friend. Martha was his friend. And I say he's the friend of sinners. That's what the Bible says that he is. And our friend, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, loved you and me intimately, personally, enough to come to this world to pay a sin debt that would have separated us from God forever in torment. Hell's a real place. It's not pleasant to think about. It's not even pleasant to read about in the Scripture. And when we think of what we deserve and where we would have been cast had he left us alone, It's a scary thought to be thinking about eternally separated from God in a place of torment. But that's where I would be, and you would be, and there would be no hope were it not for our friend called Jesus. Who wasn't a man, just a man. He was a man. He was born as a man. We see the evidence of his humanity here as he looked upon Mary and Martha and saw them grieving and saw them mourning at the loss. When you lose a loved one, someone you love, it's hard. It hurts. And you feel like nobody can really understand how I'm feeling. I'm telling you, you got a friend that knows how you felt, knows how you feel. And he cares. He cares enough that that little verse is in the Bible, Jesus wept. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wept. The one who made the heavens and the earth, by him all things were made, wept. The one who was with God in the beginning before the foundation of the world wept. About a death of a puny little man that wouldn't seem to mean anything to anybody. What is man that he's mindful of him? What is man that he even considers us? What am I? What are you that God would do anything for me or you? When I sinned from the very beginning and have continued to sin, and even after he's done so good, much for me and been so good to me, I still keep messing up. And if you think you don't, hang in there a while from the Word of God, you'll find out you do too. The Bible doesn't say everybody but you sinned. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He didn't see one of us doing good. He saw us all in our transgressions and in our sins, and yet He saw us as our friend, as the one who loved us. His love, the God of heaven doesn't change. If He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. And that love is so great that nothing can separate you from that love. And He had three of His little children that were in trouble. Martha and Mary knew who to go to when their brother was sick. And they wanted Him to come now and fix it. Can you relate? You know, when my dad was sick, I didn't want him to go. I wanted him just to keep on, even when he was not in his right mind and thoughts. There was a part of me that wanted him to still be there. And I miss him. But I tell you, I don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because I believe that the moment our loved ones leave this world, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, and they see what Stephen saw, Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father, ready to receive their spirit when they leave this world. And I know it was a hard thing to watch Lazarus die. It was a hard thing to go to the tomb. It was a hard thing for him to be there even 4 days. Enough so that when Jesus came on the scene, Martha seemed to be a little perturbed. I don't know what she was thinking or how she felt, but I can kind of read a little bit of that in the scriptures. That Jesus, look, where you are, people don't die. If you'd have come, you could have healed him. If you'd have done what I asked you to do, Lord, we wouldn't be in this mess. But we've got our brother dead and we're grieving and mourning. And Mary's at the house and she's grieving and mourning. And I'm grieving and mourning. And if you had been here, Lord, Mary said the same thing when she came to Jesus. So probably they'd been talking. If Jesus had just come. Sometimes it happens in our lives where we go, Lord, what's going on? We prayed. We've asked you. We've said, oh Lord, please grant this. Lord, supply this. And the Lord tarries. Or the Lord seems to tarry. And we feel like maybe he... What happened? Did we not pray right? Did we do something wrong? Are we not trusting enough? Listen, I want you to know, if it was ever based on me trusting enough, or me doing right, or me getting everything so that God would operate, if it was ever that way, it wouldn't be of grace. It'd be because I got something right. I'm telling you, every blessing you have in your life has come by the grace of God. It isn't because you got it right. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to get it right. It just means there's going to be enough wrong with me no matter what. That if I'm trying to rest today in me, I'll have no rest. But there's rest to be had. And that's in Jesus. That's in the friend. That's in the one who loved you. That's in the one who knew what he was doing, even when he heard. Do you think he just didn't know about Lazarus being sick until they told him that he was sick? Listen, we sometimes think we're telling the Lord something when we pray. We're not telling the Lord anything that he doesn't know. But we're expressing our desires as he's told us to do in order to help us. He already knows what you need. And even if you pray right, it's the Spirit of God that's taught you to do that. That helps you to know to pray. Listen, it's okay to pray when you don't know what to pray for. Just trust in the Spirit. He'll give you the words that you need. He'll give you the feeling that you need. And if we ever think we got it right and straight, then we're not walking by faith, which is whatsoever is not of faith, is not even, it's sin. In other words, I need Him. I need Him to pray. I need Him to breathe. I need Him to live. I need Him to preach. I need Him to sit in a congregation this morning. I need Him. Here's the good news. You've got a friend that loved you even according to Scripture before the foundation of the world. And that friend, you have God the Father, and you have God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, as many would claim we believe in. No, one God made manifest in three persons. And I'm telling you, that triune God secured our salvation even before the foundation of the world. And Jesus came and did what the Father sent Him to do. And the Holy Spirit has operated in your heart, allowing you to see it. And I hope you feel like His friend. I hope you feel it, that Jesus is my friend. I don't know what's coming with this week. I know last week had some things come that I didn't know about. It was good to have friends. But I found out Brother Terry can't fix everything. I mean, he does real good. I'm not putting it down, saying anything about it. Thank the Lord for him. But I'm telling you, when it comes down for you and I to get it all straight, the friends of this world can help you and be a benefit to you as the Lord helps them. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful we're not dependent on men and we're not dependent on just our friends here? We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have a friend that loveth at all times. We have a friend that loves us when we've let loose and let go and turned the other way. We have a friend who loved us in our sins and in a state of death, enough so that he came when we were dead and spoke life to us. That's the kind of friend that Lazarus needed. You could have had a friend. They could have had a friend that was the best doctor in this world. Wouldn't have helped Lazarus any bit, one bit. While he was sick, could have maybe helped him some. But once he's dead, you don't take people to the doctor when they're dead. You take them to the funeral. You don't take them to the doctor. I'm telling you, there's only one who can give the dead life. We have a friend who specializes in the dead. Over in chapter 10 of John, verse 17. John chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus says this: "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." That tells me He has power over death. He says, "I'm going to lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me." Many have said, well, they took Jesus and they killed Him. And yes, in a sense, they did take Him and kill Him. But I want you to know, He gave His life. They could not have taken His life had He not suffered it to be so. And the reason that He suffered it to be so was because you and I needed what only He could do. He said, "I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." That tells me He has power over death. And He's about to prove it. You know, He said it. Now, somebody said, well, He said it, but that doesn't mean He can do it. I want you to know, when He said it, it was good as done. But then He proved what He could do right after He'd said it. Wasn't that very long? Wasn't very long. He said what he had the power to do, and now He's about to prove it. And He says, "I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." In other words, the Father sent Him. He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of the Father which has sent Him. And Jesus said, "And this will is that all that ye have given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." In other words, I have some friends. I have some people that I love. I have the elect family of God that I am going to come and die for and pay the sin debt for. And I'm going to watch over them from the time they're formed and fashioned in their mother's womb until they breathe their last breath here in this world. And when that happens, I'm going to carry them out of this world to be with me in glory. And I'm going to have their soul and spirit at the moment of death. And then I'm coming to return in the skies, and I'm going to resurrect their bodies, and they're going to come forth and be gathered, our body, soul, and spirit, in the air, and we're going to meet the Lord and be in the air and forever be with the Lord, and there's not one that I'm going to miss. He didn't leave it to man to do. Y'all believe that? I'll tell you, if you believe that, you ought to be happy. If you believe that, you ought to be at peace and rest. If you believe that, listen, Gary, I'm talking to me. A little spot on the bathroom floor would not bother you. If you believe that, man, somebody said, "What is he talking about?" Brother Terry knows what I'm talking about. Little things that don't amount to a hill of beans, that really are about this temporal world, just here for a little while. Look, we're here for a little while. We're soon going to vanish away. We get bumps in the road. We're going to have things that go right, things that go wrong. Sometimes our life seems like, oh, it's such a mess. It could never get straight. We see it in our children and our grandchildren, and we wonder, what can we do? I'm telling you, we've got a friend that loved us so much, he secured heaven for us. Can he not take care of the storms here in life as we face them each day? And he does. And he does. And he is. And he will. And he continues to. And he came here at a time, no doubt, they were brokenhearted. So much so, they were groaning in them. They were mourning the loss of this. I believe that was a close family, don't you? You ever see a close family? It's almost like when one of them dies, it's just like it's such a bruise and such a hard thing on the rest of them. It's just tough. You need a friend when it's tough, don't you? I'm telling you, you have a friend, not because you made him your friend, it's because he made you his friend. He reached down where you were, got you what you needed, and put your feet upon a rock and put a new song in your mouth, even praises unto God. And if you have that, it's because he did it. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He did it. Jesus came to the tomb. He knew what he was going to do before he ever left. The disciples didn't have a clue. Martha and Mary didn't have a clue. Lazarus certainly didn't have a clue. Lazarus is dead. You know, Lazarus, how much is Lazarus involved? You want to know how much man's involved in his new birth? He's involved in his new birth about as much as Lazarus was involved in coming out of that grave. I'll tell you, that's how much he's involved. That new birth is a work of grace. That life was given by God. There's only one. There could have been many people standing over the tomb of Lazarus saying, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus would not have moved because they didn't have the power. There was no doctor that could have helped him. He was dead, and he was dead all over. There was no way to help him. He wasn't partially dead. He was dead. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do the whole time. He asked questions, but he didn't ask questions because he didn't know the answer. He asked questions to bring to light what needed to be brought to light. He told them to roll away the stone. He didn't tell them to roll away the stone because he couldn't roll away the stone. He made the stone. He said at one time, "I could take of these stones. If you want children of Abraham, I could take of these stones and make children of Abraham." If he could do that with a stone, surely he could have moved the stone. But he wanted them to move the stone. You know why? Because he wanted them to see how dead is. Can you imagine coming to a grave where a dead body's been in there for 4 days, sealed up in a tomb, and rolling away that stone? Can you imagine the stench? The smell of death. Where everybody there would be convinced, this man's dead. This is not a trick. This is not some cheap magician. This is a dead body that I smell. When they rolled away, when you roll away a stone from a tomb, you've got to get up close and personal. And I'm sure everybody in there. That's why Mary said, Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Don't do that. Don't open it up. Because by now he stinketh. He's dead. And they rolled away that stone, and no doubt that you can imagine. I can't imagine the scene. Jesus knew all about what he was going to do. And he stood at that tomb. And he cried, first of all, to God. And said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always. That's a perfect son of man. You want to see how Jesus saved us by his life? He saved us by his life. One place it says, not only by his death did he save us, but he saved us by his life. I'm telling you, when Jesus lived, he lived perfectly. He set the perfect example of how we ought to live. He set the perfect example of how we ought to face problems and situations. He was the perfect Son of Man, and he prayed unto his Father. He didn't pray unto his Father because he didn't have the power to do whatever the Father had to do, because he was one with the Father. Jesus could have done anything without asking the Father. But Jesus prayed to the Father to show us that we need the Father. I need him, don't you? When I'm in trouble, I need to pray. And how much did Jesus pray? He says, you hear me always. You know, God hears me always. God hears you always. Even when we're not praying to him and looking to him, he hears us. He's always there. I don't remember that always, do you? And sometimes I forget that. There's sometimes I need to be reminded of that. This passage helps me to remember that. Jesus said, thou art always with me. You always hear me. He said, I didn't say it in order for you to hear it, Lord. I know when I speak, you hear everything. But I say it so they might see it. They might understand it. And then Jesus didn't say, Father, raise him up. No, he shows us that he was verily God. Somebody said, well, he's praying to God. So he needs the Lord to help him. That makes him, he must not be equal with God. Oh, no. Listen, he was a son of man. And as the son of man, he showed us how we're to pray to God. But then when it came time to raise Lazarus, he didn't say, Father, raise him up. Jesus did it. You know why? To show us that he was one with the Father. He was one with him. He was God made manifest in the flesh. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And that was here for us as well. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I've heard many preachers talk about this, that if he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, he would have emptied the cemetery because he had that power. But he called him by name. I see a picture of the new birth in this. Where we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And there is a sense, if you're born of the Spirit, that you've already heard that call in your heart. John 5 and 25 says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking life to the dead. And until Jesus speaks life to the dead won't hear anything else. The dead won't hear the gospel. The dead won't hear the good news. The gospel doesn't bring that life. The gospel comes and lets them go. Those that have been made alive, there's a picture of the gospel here, but there's a picture of the new birth when he says, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you want to see the obedience that a man has in the new birth? Well, when he said, come forth, he came forth. When the Lord said to us to live, we became alive. And he worked in us faith, and he worked in us spiritual sight, and he worked in us spiritual hearing, and he worked in us a spiritual heart. He took away that stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh. He did a work in us where we were made new creatures and old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new, and we are reconciled to God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have the ministry not to get people reconciled, but to tell them that they are reconciled. I hope we can see the difference. The gospel doesn't get you redeemed. It tells you how you're redeemed. It describes and explains and declares how you're justified and how you're washed in the blood and how you're reconciled. And the ministry of reconciliation is to tell God's little children that you're at peace with the Lord. Those who feel like I still stand underneath His judgment and I could not possibly be His child or His friend are told that because of the grace of God, though you are a sinner, the price has been paid and heaven is your home because of what Jesus has done for you. And the world won't hear it and won't have it, but God's little children need it and hunger and thirst for it because it's written in the laws in their heart. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now, won't you get this picture? He's wrapped up. One brother I read after said there was two miracles here. First of all, he was given life. Secondly, he got out of there. Because he's wrapped up. Listen, he can't see because he's wrapped up in grave clothes. He can't walk because he's wrapped up in grave clothes. He's wrapped up like a mummy. I mean, he's wrapped up in those grave clothes. It's on his legs and on his hands. He's bound hand and foot. I'm not making that up. The Word of God says it. That he was dead, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, this is a cave. It's not like a grave where we're looking down into it, him coming out of it. It's a cave. It had a stone on the door, a door and a stone against it. And that had been moved away, but he came out of there after he had been given life. But he came out, he was still bound up. You want to see a picture of a little child of grace after the new birth? They're wearing all kinds of grave clothes. In other words, they got all the trappings of the world all over them. They've been made alive. There's a change on the inside, but the outside looked just like it used to look. That old flesh still has all the bad habits that it's accumulated over a lifetime of living in sin and walking in sin. And there are some things that need to be changed. There are some grave clothes that need to be removed. There's a new walk, a new live life. When you are dead, grave clothes are the appropriate apparel. But when you've been made alive, you were sometimes darkness, Ephesians tells us. But now are ye light in the Lord. We're now to walk as children of light. And so if you want to see where the gospel fits in, the gospel didn't make him alive, but the gospel pulls off the grave clothes. You get that? In other words, I got some grave clothes to get off me. You do too. There are things I need to be taught. What does the truth do? What does the truth do? You shall know the truth. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you... Well, John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Absolutely. Sound like some grave clothes being pulled off? Does to me. Every day I need some old grave clothes pulled off. Where does that happen? The gospel didn't give me life, but I'm telling you, it loosed me and it lets me go. That's a deliverance. Jesus could have taken those off immediately, couldn't he? But the picture is here. He turned to his servants or those that were there. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face... Get it? His face, he couldn't see. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, here's the gospel, loose him, let him go. That's what we want to do, God's little children. They've been made alive by the grace of God, and we preach the gospel to loose them and let them go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I believe there were those that the Lord had given a heart to understand it, an eye to see it, and an ear to hear it, and they believed on Him because He had given them faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, and it's impossible to believe, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If you have faith, it's already because He's given you life. Life precedes faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. You got to be made alive before you have faith. You find faith, you've got life. You don't get faith to get life. That's the world got that mixed up. That you got to have the faith in order to get the life. No, you got to have the life. And then you have the faith, which is the gift of God. And then with the faith, you're able to believe. And then when as you believe, some grave clothes come off and you're set free. I can move. My feet can move. My hands can move. And I'm happy in the Lord. Notice not all of them believed, though. Everyone saw the evidence. What's the difference between those that see the evidence and see it and those that see the evidence and it's like they've not seen it? You know, I wonder how people can look at this beautiful world that the Lord made and not see God everywhere. You ever wonder that? But if the Lord hadn't given you an eye of faith, you can't see it, and I can't convince you of it. But if God's given you faith, you can't help but see it. You can't help but see it. Because every day it's a speech that's being declared every day that I am God and I am powerful and I am awesome and I am mighty and worthy to be praised. And the little child of God, even without a Bible, can know in his heart that there's a God that's greater than made this world. And the reason that he knows him is because God came to the tomb where he was dead and said, live. And he heard that voice and he came forth. You say, well, how come some of them don't seem to act? But because they got grave clothes on. Hear me? They got grave clothes on. And they need those pulled off by the gospel. And that's why the Lord sent the gospel. We were told to loose him and let him go. We're not doing near enough of that. We're not preaching enough. We're not telling them enough. Not from our pulpits, not from in our lifestyle, in our walk, and in our actions, and our behavior. We're to let your light so shine. Listen, you're a child of light. You're to walk in the light. Still battling some of those grave clothes ourselves over and over. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. In other words, this very thing had two. One group believed and embraced it. The other group went out and said, what can we do to get rid of this man? You ever wonder what caused a Nicodemus to come to Jesus by night and ask him, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Why didn't all the Pharisees see that? Because Nicodemus had been given some understanding and light. He'd been, I believe, already born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom. You must be born again. You can't enter the kingdom. And Nicodemus didn't have a full understanding of that. But he had some. And if you have any today, that's an evidence you belong to him. You think it's time for Pop-Pop to quit back there? Bless your heart. Anyway, I love you, dear ones. I pray that the good Lord would just bless us to see this better and better and get more and more excited about what the Lord's done for us. How great it is to have a friend like Jesus. Brother Terry likes that hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll turn to that one. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Who's 20? You know that? Hey, bro.